Today, the study is called Be Strong and of Good Courage. The title to this devotion, Be Strong and of Good Courage, is God's word of encouragement to Joshua, just after Moses died. Joshua did not realize what dangers he was about to face. God handed the responsibility of leading the Israelite nation into Canaan, modern-day Israel, unaware of the many battles he would face, to subdue the tribes living in the land at that time. All of us will face tough challenges and some kind of dangers during our lifetime. God spoke these encouraging words three times to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Both the words strong and courageous have similar meanings. In our mind and heart, we have to be strong. We have to have the determination to face our difficulties. But we have to put these desires into action. We need courage and the boldness to carry them out. Whatever happens in life, it is not by accident. There is a multitude of reasons why we find ourselves through circumstance or occasionally coming into contact with danger and maybe falling ill. Satan's ultimate aim for mankind is to destroy by any means possible. The Apostle Paul clearly states in Ephesians 2, verse 1 and 2, As for you, you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the rulers of the kingdom of the air, the Spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Although for a time Satan is the ruler of the air, let us not forget that God made the universe and everything in it. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In everything, he has the ultimate say. He is in control. God's divine purpose in dealing with the sins of mankind was to send Jesus into our world to pay the ultimate price for sin by dying on a cross in our stead. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus paid the price. But down to the centuries, Satan sought in many ways to prevent this from happening. We read in 1 Peter 5 verse 8, Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. There are many times through Scripture where Satan sought to hinder the purposes of God by seeking to exterminate God's people. In the book of Esther, we read what Satan sought to do when the Jewish nation, who were taken into exile and kept captive for 70 years in Babylon. One of the Babylonian leaders, Haman, sought to have the whole of the Jewish nation destroyed. But through the intervention of one of the Jewish leaders, Mordecai, who informed Esther, his niece, who was the queen and wife of Xerxes, the Babylonian king, and by her telling the king of the plot, the nation of the Israelites was saved. Soon after Jesus was born, through Herod, Satan also sought to kill all the Jewish children of 2 years old and under. But God intervened and spoke to his earthly father Joseph in a dream, telling him to flee to Egypt. Today, some nations are still blatantly set on trying to exterminate the Jewish nation. Satan continues to seek to hinder the spread of the gospel. I have met a number of Christians who during their life did mighty things for God, yet they can testify to a time in their life through circumstances, through illness or accident, they almost lost their life. Satan wanted to prevent them from sharing God's love. We read in Psalm 46, 1 and 2, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. What an encouragement and an assurance for God's people to know he is with us at all times, protecting us and guiding us. We also read how angels are sent to help protect us, as David wrote in Psalm 34, verse 7. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. I would like to share a testimony of one family who faced death on at least two occasions because they were not ashamed to share their faith. As the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God who brings salvation to everyone who believes. During my early childhood, my parents would often entertain missionaries and their families while on sabbatical leave. One family in particular were Mr. and Mrs. Fred Smith, with their two daughters, Eunice and Ruth, who were missionaries in Brazil. They'd gone out without any financial support, but faithfully God met their needs. They were a great blessing in setting up churches, resulting in 70 nationals becoming missionaries in South America. It was Fred who gave me the key as how to play the organ and piano. While attempting to play a few notes on my grandmother's organ, that is Grandmother Davis, Mr. Smith, having been a concert pianist in his younger days, spent just a few moments directing me to the musical notes in my mother's tutor book and relating them to the keys on the organ. I may have only been 10 years of age, yet from then I was on my own. Yet by the time I was 16, spending up to 3 hours each evening practicing, I became a competent musician. Thanks to the hymn books Grandmother Townsend had given me each Christmas and birthday, I began to make good progress. With practice, I was able to play many of the tunes proficiently, both by reading the music and playing by ear. Each time I played, my spirit sang. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, the words of the music were like ointment in my heart. For me, sitting down to play the organ was a real bolt-hole, where I could worship in song and be spiritually uplifted, just for a few hours away from the melancholy of family life. I was so inspired each time Mr. Smith visited. Something inside me told me this is a life I should seek to attain. We read in 2 Corinthians 2, 14 and 15, but thanks be to God, who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphant procession and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. I carefully observed the many parts of Mr. Smith's lifestyle and character. With pride, knowing he had a faith that spoke volumes to me, not in just what he said, but in just being who he was, as well as by example. Fred Smith was large in stature. He had a strong faith and a strong, charismatic personality. He had a great command of the Bible. He knew where to find a verse when he wanted to illustrate or back up what he was saying, and he lived it out. Mr. Smith experienced the reality of Psalm 23, verse 4. He and his family could say, even though I walk through the darkest valley, which in the King James Version translates as the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. On one occasion, while on mission, he faced death while protecting his family. Yet there was a gentleness and a warm, childlike manner, together with a rich spirituality that would impact anyone as he began to relate the gospel to them. He most certainly had a great influence on my life. I learnt many lessons from him. It was some years later. I discovered the Goddard and way Mr. Smith came to know my family. My father had a telephone call from a church close by of the same denomination stating that they had double-booked their preacher for the forthcoming Sunday evening. Would my father like Mr. Smith to come to their church to preach that particular day? It was a God incident. It was orchestrated by God so that, for me at least, I would witness and learn the true characteristics of a godly Christian who had faced martyrdom but escaped, a man like the Apostle Paul. Fred Smith lived to within a couple of months of his 100th birthday. Like Moses, full of years, still sharing the gospel message on the streets and quayside at the dockyard in Liverpool. He was a man who was a giant of the faith, bold as a lion, fearless, yet had the humility of Moses. The word of God was always on his lips. He had the gracious ability to counsel and guide young Christians, showing them how to live, giving spiritual help, as with the Apostle Paul when he said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1-3, "What you heard from me, keep as a pattern of sound teaching, with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit in trust you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us." Young Christians could re-echo the words spoken by the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 3:6. "He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life." In a short biography written by Fred's eldest daughter, Eunice, we read of what transpired during one of his missionary visits to Brazil. She writes, "Of particular interest was the accident Nellie, his wife, encountered in falling off her horse and permanently injuring her back. Also, the life-threatening experience when two army officers sought to take his life while alone on a train journey. I was left slightly confused, but have to assume this was one of two specific occasions when his life and his family were in danger. I recall being told that he and his wife and family were on a 3 days journey by train in Brazil. A group of Catholic priests also joined the train journey. Fred sensed these priests were up to no good, and God gave him the ability to stay awake 3 days and nights, eventually disembarking, maybe prematurely, to escape from these priests who were planning to kill them." Eunice recalls a return visit to Mato Grosso, a province in central Brazil. This unforgettable experience occurred in 1950 while Nelly, Fred's wife, and the two daughters Eunice and Ruth were in England. Fred continues, "My traveller was Bill Giles, a newly arrived missionary, and we were travelling transverse in Mato Grosso State, en route to Miranda. This time, it was not necessary to cross the River Paraná on the raft because a fine bridge had been built. The Portuguese tracts we distributed at some of the stations in coaches had been generally accepted. However, a group of armed Brazilian soldiers entered in polemics, that means argued fiercely against God and the Bible, cursing and blaspheming. One asked me if I knew where I was. Yes, I responded, and informed him that I had known Matteo Grosso since 1926. I decided it would be wiser to desist and continued my reading of the Word of God. It was clear that the soldiers were communists, since they spoke well of Russia and deprecated their own country. The second sleepless night was approaching. February is the hottest month, so the windows were wide open. Showers of sparks from the engine lit up the countryside. The dim lights in our long coach of seats, occupied by men, women and children, revealed that all were asleep, except two. The corporal, with his glaring eyes and obvious evil intentions, and the evangelist. Occasionally I looked at him and found his eyes fixed on me. So continuing to read the book of Daniel from the King James Version and praying to God for help, I read on and on. I noted something very unusual about verse 19 of chapter 10. Tiny, coloured lights were encircling, twirling around it. He strengthened me and said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong, yes, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Strange, I looked at my enemy. He was fast asleep. Although, I thought, the words were addressed to Daniel. They are now actually convincing me, many centuries later, to assure and strengthen. By the way, Bill Giles then knew very little Portuguese, so was completely unaware of the situation. I kept on reading, enjoying the Lord's presence and recalling his glorious promises. Lo, I am with you always. From Matthew 28, verse 20. Also, when the two disciples were feeling dismayed at the death of Jesus on the road to Emmaus, where we read, And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. It's found in Luke 24:15. Also, when the three men were thrown into the fiery furnace in Daniel 3:25, he answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of fire, and they had no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then in Isaiah 54:17, No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Also, Fred read in Isaiah 40:31, But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. With the rays of the rising sun, the sleepers awakened, and the comrades of the corporal returned from the adjoining coach. One of them then whispered to the corporal, Why didn't you kill him? He replied, Because he didn't take his eyes off me the whole night long. Fred concludes his testimony with the words of that triumphant hymn, To God be the glory. Great things he has done, so loved he the world, that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life and atonement for sin, and open the life gate, that all may go in. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. O come to the Father, through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory. Great things he has done. I know it was God who led me and my family to meet Fred. It was a great privilege for me to know Fred Smith. Fred had a strong character. He had served in the army during the First World War. He was big in stature as well as big in character, but above all, strong in the Lord. He knew his Bible well. And he was fearless in sharing the gospel. He had that wonderful gift of engaging in a conversation and then turn the conversation around, enabling him to share the gospel. It reminds me of what the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 4, verse 9. Whatever you have learnt or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Paul led by example. But we should seek to follow the one who is our prime example, Jesus himself. We read what Jesus said in Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30. Come to me, all you weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. We do not know what dangers lie ahead. We do not know how the world events will develop as we see the increase in evil and depravity all around us. With all that is going on around us, it points to Jesus returning very, very soon. Are you ready? Have you invited Jesus to be your friend and Saviour? Do you long for his appearing to take you home? We so need to keep our eyes on Jesus, ever eager to hear his voice, his gentle voice of encouragement, directing us along the pathway he has set before us. Mr. Smith, while in that traumatic situation on the train journey, was so aware of God's presence. Reading God's word, the Bible, giving him peace, reassurance, and security. We also are able to follow his example, even mindful of the words of the prophet Isaiah 9, verse 6, describing Jesus as the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Together, we also need the secret to our security, as what we read in Psalm 91, 1-4. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. We can make the words of the hymn Abide With Me a prayer, which says, I need thy presence every passing hour. What by thy grace can foil the tempter's power? Who like thyself my guide and stay can be, through cloud and sunshine, Lord, abide with me. I fear no foe with thee at hand to bless. Ills have no weight, and tears no bitterness. Where is death's sting? Where grave thy victory? I triumph still, if thou abide with me. Hold thou thy cross before my closing eyes, shine through the gloom and point me to the skies. Heaven morning breaks and earth's vain shadows flee, in life, in death, O Lord, abide with me. Finally, Let us read David's encouraging words, followed by God's reassuring response in Psalm 32, verses 6 to 8. Therefore, let all the faithful pray to you while you may be found. Surely, the rising of the mighty waters won't reach them. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the ways you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eyes on you. Amen.